Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 1, please, tonight. Proverbs chapter 1. If you recall, last week we began a sort of a summer series on the fear of the Lord. And you know, some people get the wrong idea about fear. They think that fear is an intimidation tool to get us to do something. The truth of the matter is, the fear of the Lord is not just the fact that we fear or we're afraid of what he might do or what he can do. That's not what this is all about. It's about the fact that we reverence and respect who he is. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's a perfect God. And I want to say this tonight, whatever you fear or give reverence to will be that which will influence your life. Whatever you look to and value in your life as something greater, something that you honor, it will cause you to respond in some various ways depending on how you look at that. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, can we stand together? We'll just read one verse there, verse number 7. Let's look at it. I want to read it first, then we'll read it together out loud. Ready? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7. The Bible said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, can we say it together? We'll read it together. Ready? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Thank you, and you may be seated. By the way, I just want to say this tonight. You know, thank God for the shepherds and their leadership and the teens. Take them to camp and all that. That's a blessing. But there's one unsung hero tonight. That's Grandma. Grandma was here taking care of those three boys. I'll never forget. She came on Wednesday night. She sat down and said, thank you, Mary, for helping out. It's a blessing. You gave an investment to these young people, and we thank you for that. But the fear of the Lord. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The beginning of knowledge. Well, I thought going to education is the beginning of knowledge. I thought if we went to school that's where we get all our knowledge from. No. Not according to the Bible. I thought it was, you know, maybe if I went to a trade school or perhaps maybe someone might teach me and that's where all my knowledge is. No, the true knowledge begins with God. Look, if you're not careful, you can put all of your trust and confidence in what some man teaches you. And you know, man can be wrong. Anyone ever been taught something wrong by somebody? Anyone ever been taught that way? Boy, I know I have. I've had people tell me all kinds of things. Have you ever thought about this way? Can you imagine raising a child and teaching them the opposite of everything that's right? In other words, yes for them could be no, and no for them could be yes. Well, that'd be a tragedy, wouldn't it? It'd be tragic to raise a child and somehow or another that you could put him in a room and you could teach him all the things that are good, bad, and all the bad things that are, you know, and so on, and get them all confused. And they go out into the world and they are just absolutely messed up. I was thinking about how much the world kind of plays part in that for us, doesn't it? I remember when I was in the eighth grade when evolution was beginning to infiltrate public schools. In first and second grade, we still had prayer and Bible reading in the public schools. Actually, I think about the third grade is when God got kicked out of our public school. Up to that point, we were reading the Bible every day and we had prayer. We did the Pledge of Allegiance. We sang, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, every day. Thank God for that. But I remember that in the eighth grade, my teacher stood up. I remember his name was Mr. Levok, I believe it was. Kind of an ugly looking guy. Science teacher. He stood up and he said, well, I'm going to teach you today about evolution. Well, I'd heard about evolution. I didn't know what it was. And we got up when he got done. I came up to him afterwards and I said, you know what? That's all wrong. I'll never forget that. And he said, young man, you're being disrespectful. And I was thinking to myself, even then, when I left the classroom, I thought, no, you're being disrespectful to God. But I remember that one of the exams we had was, He said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to compare evolution and Bible creation and prove which one you believe. For me, it was simple. The Bible says it, I believe it. You see, people have been confused. You see, I can go down here to Six Flags Marine World, whatever it is, they've changed the name 15 times. I don't remember what it is now. But I can go down there. When I'm there, have you ever noticed when you get there, they tell you about 16 billion years ago, that's evolutionary. The planet can only be 7,000 to 10,000 years. You say, how do you know that? The Bible. The Bible's very clear. The planet can be older than 7,000 to 10,000 years. And when we get down there and they talk about all those things, and I look and I'm thinking, man, people are confused. Because we're raising a generation of young children that believe that they're descendants of monkeys and that the planet's 16 billion years old and all the rest of the things. Why? Because they've been taught wrong knowledge. Look, whenever a man teaches something that is wrong, you can guarantee it, it just permeates down to the next generation. You can also understand that when you're going to find true knowledge, you never want it to begin with man. It must always begin with God. To reverence and respect and fear God and understand what the Bible says, that's where true knowledge comes from. So would it be fair to say this? God knows all about the planet. Would it be fair to say this, that God knows all about us? Absolutely. In fact, the truth matters, God knows about everything. So we talk about the fear of the Lord that we have here that begins with knowledge, or true knowledge, if you would. I want to give you three reasons why we should fear God so that we can have right knowledge. Number one, write this one down, because the Lord is all-knowing. God is all-knowing. I already mentioned it in just kind of in my introduction, but think about this. He knows us. God knows what is in your body and your life and your heart. He knows you. God knows us. God knows all about us. In fact, he knows us so well, the Bible says he even knows the number of the hairs on our head. Can you imagine that? Now, for me, that's not real hard. I can count them. But you understand, God, the Bible says he knows the very hair on your head. He says in Matthew chapter 10, he said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. Boy, that sure attacks the animal rights activist, doesn't it? See, that's what God says. You're more important than animals. You know why? Because you're not an animal. You're a human being. You're made with a body and a soul and a spirit. The Bible said he knows us. He knows your time of departure from this planet. He knows everything there is to know about you. I can't tell you how many times that I've been called either to the hospital or maybe one of our members, I've gone to the hospital, and I stand in the ICU room of someone who either getting ready to turn the machines off or maybe someone who's very sick and ready to die. And I've been there, and where the doctor will come out and he'll say this, he'll say, preacher, it's all up to God at this point. You know why? Because he knows. God only knows. You realize that medicine does not have a cure for everything and know everything? In fact, haven't you noticed when you go into the doctor's office, it says he's practicing medicine? It doesn't say he knows it. He just says he's practicing it. Right? See, God knows all. And the reason why that I can fear God and reverence God in my life is because I know he knows all things. And the reason why, because he knows me. He knows I'm a sinner and in need of a Savior. He knows that I have a propensity to sin and that I'm weak and that I give in. He knows that, but thank God he forgives. See, God knows me. He knows what I need. He knows you. He knows what you need. And he knows the fact that if you're here without Christ tonight, you need a Savior. And that's why Jesus Christ came to this earth. But not only does he know us, but he knows the world. Can I get you to go with me to Matthew chapter 6 for just a minute? Matthew chapter 6, he knows the world. When I get to Matthew chapter 6, I notice something. The Bible says in verse number 25, please with me. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Now here's what he knows about the world. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Again, another animal rights activist verse. God says, I know about the birds. I know about the animals. I know what they need. Let's read on. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? You know what that means? Which of you can worry yourself into making things better? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider, now he's talking about nature. Consider now the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we all be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles say, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, he knows the world. He knows what there is in the world. He knows what's going on in the world. He knows what the needs of the world is. He knows what the animals need. He knows he's made them that way. He's made them adaptable to the environment. He knows exactly what they need. He knows us. He knows the world. But then he also knows, the fact is, he knows the future. You know, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It's kind of funny. I was telling you this morning, I said, you know, it's going to be 104 tomorrow. That's what they were forecasting. Now I turned it on and it says it's supposed to be 92 tomorrow. You know, the fact is, they don't really know how hot it's going to be. Have you ever noticed that? They change it all the time, don't they? Man, I almost hate to give the forecast because, you know, I'll give it to in the morning. By the afternoon, it's already changed four times. In fact, the truth of the matter is, they have no idea right now what's going to happen. We might have snow tomorrow. I know some of you laugh about that. Did you think we're going to have rain on Tuesday? Not on your life. I never dreamed it. I thought, man, when the rain's gone, good night, we're going to have some hot temperatures. We had some hot temperatures and it still rained. See, God knows the future. He knows your future too. He knows where you're going and he knows how you're going to get there. You see, without Jesus Christ, we can't go to heaven. He knows that future. And what he's saying to you and me is, if we reverence and fear God, then we're going to fall on the mercy of God and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't go to heaven on my own. Lord, I need you. Please, Lord, save me. Be my Savior today. You see, that's the reason why I can fear God, because I know he's all-knowing. Secondly, not only that, but he's all-powerful. Well, I like that. I like a God who is all-powerful. I'm glad we don't have a God that's dead in the grave somewhere. We have a risen Savior. The Bible says it like this, who's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You know what he says? He said he's the creator. Jesus Christ is the creator. He's the divine creator. He's more powerful. You see, to be a creator, you got to be more powerful than the created. That's the reason why I think evolution has become so popular, because they want to factor God out of the equation. Somehow or another, they thought that they can get God out of the equation, that they can exalt man, and that now it's man. It's all about him and what he's done. Man's the measure of all things. He made man. God didn't create man. Man created a God just so that he can have something to lean on. That's how they see it. But the Creator has a personal interest in that which he's created. He sustains all things. Number two. Not only did he create all things, but he sustains all things. Oh, by the way, I got to back up for just a moment. I was thinking about created. You know, it's good to know that God knows us, isn't it? It's good that God knows our as we're created. Do you know that God knows exactly what you need and what you need to take care of in your life? I'm glad he does. But see, the truth of the matter is God knows all things. And since he created us and he sustains all those things according to those verses, one of the things I keep in mind is this. I'll never forget. I think I've told you this story, but I'm going to go back and tell you the story again. Many years ago, when cars were first put on the road and there were people out driving cars and people were having, they would have a difficulty with cars. You know, the cars were much less advanced as they are today. You know, now we've got all these fuel injections and all these different things, and cars can do all kinds of stuff they couldn't do. They can talk to you. They can walk across the highway. They can pull up in your driveway and pick you up. I mean, they can do all kinds of things. I see now they even got cars that you can call on a phone and you could push a button and it'll start up your car while you're waiting upstairs in the bedroom. It's a crazy thing. One day, a man was driving his car, and his car broke down the side of the road, he and his wife. And he gets out and he lifts the hood in his Model T to try to figure out what he could do to get it fixed. And he was looking inside. By the way, this Model T, I wish I had one. They're worth something now. But I want all the numbers to match, amen? But he lifted the hood. He was there working, and a man came up behind and pulled up behind him and stopped and wanted to help him. And he got out and he said, "Let me see what's wrong." And he said, "Sir, I don't need your help. Get out of my face." He said, "You don't understand." He says, I'd be glad to help out. He says, "No, I got it. I don't need your help." He said, "But sir, you don't quite understand. I'm just here to help, and I know I can help you. I'm certain I can help you." And he said, "Sir, if you don't leave, I'm going to have to beat you up. Now leave." And the man was rather adamant about it. And he said, "All right." He said, "I just want to let you know, though, that I'm Henry Ford and I made your car." You know, that's how we kind of create, that's how we treat God, don't we? Because God made us, and it's like, "No, God, I don't need you. I know what I'm doing." And God says, "Oh, no, you don't understand. I made you. If I created you, I probably know what you need. And I know where you are, and I know what I can do for you. I'm way ahead of you in this thing." Just the sequel to the story, the man never did get his car started. But I'll tell you something, when we got God, he'll start our motor. That's when we really get it. The Bible said he sustains us, he holds the planet together. There's nothing in this planet that can exist without his power. He holds all things together. The very first reason why we should recognize the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge is because he knows all things. Man is always wise to listen to the one who knows all things. You know, if I wanted to learn how to play golf, I would probably find Rory. What's his last name? McIlroy, that's it, McIlroy. I'd find Rory. I was going to say Tiger Woods, but I don't think I want to learn anything from him right now. But I would find Roy McIlroy. And I would ask him, "How did you win the U.S. Open?" If I wanted to learn how to play basketball, I'd find a guy like Michael Jordan or LeBron James. We could have gone without that all night. You know that? And let me guess, you must be a Kobe Bryant fan. No, I don't want it. I don't want Kobe. But if I wanted to learn, I would go to someone who knew about it. And I want to tell you this tonight. If you want to know someone who can really help you, you need to go to God. You see, he knows. Not only that, but God's all-powerful. And since he knows he can make things work, he's all-powerful. There's nothing on this planet or any person more powerful than God. Now, there's some people that think they are, but there's none more powerful than him. I've read in history about some of our world leaders who said, I'm more powerful than Jesus Christ. Mussolini said that. He is not more powerful than Jesus Christ. You see, the truth of the matter is we have a God that's all powerful. But then let me give you the third one. You can write this one down. But because the Lord is also all seeing. This one makes it rather scary to know that God sees the good and the bad, doesn't he? The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the good, or the evil and the good. 2 Chronicles says this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those, or them, whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. God says, I see the good and the bad. There's nothing that's bad that's going on that God doesn't see, and there's nothing good that's going on that God doesn't see. God saw what the teenagers were doing this week. God saw that. And by the way, I want to tell you this, God saw everything you did this week, good and bad. He sees that. You can't escape that. Well, I tell you, if someone could be like that, you know, I used to fear my mom because I kind of was almost convinced my mom was like that. I thought my mom was like, you know, she's omnipresent. I mean, she saw everything. It seemed like I could go out, you know, and I was scared to death of my mother out of respect and honor to her, but I could go out, and if I did one thing, it seemed like my mom knew. I don't know how she knew. I remember one time I had a neighbor. She was just about the most nosy neighbor, and nosiness always bothered me. Do you guys like, don't nosy people bug you? Come on. Come on, say amen to that. And I had this nosy neighbor. She used to bug me. Seemed like I'd go out, anything I did in the backyard, she'd go call my mom and tell her. And I remember one day, she just, you ever, you know, you get to a breaking point. I was at the breaking point. And so I thought, nobody'd see me. Remember, picked up a big rock. And we lived in high rent district, a trailer park. And by the way, they weren't modular units. They were trailers. You guys know what I'm talking about? The 10 trailers. The, you know, 10 by 60 or whatever. And I remember she lived in a little 10 by 60. And I was just mad. She had already told on about 10 things, and I picked up a big rock. And I said, threw that rock, and pow, hit the side. And of course, like, you know, I didn't know it would be any better. Man, it echoed through that trailer, I'm sure. She probably thought, man, what was it? An earthquake had happened. And she looked out the window and saw me, and guess what? Called my mother. And my mother, when I heard the word Richard Lee, I knew it was not good. You guys know what I'm talking about? I just knew my mom was all-seeing. How did she know that? The hardest thing I ever had to do was go over there and tell her I was sorry. I would have rather taken the belt than had to go tell her. I cried the whole way over to say, I'm sorry, because I wasn't. I just wished it would have gotten a little higher and hit a window. She deserved it. But you know, the fact is that God's all-seeing, isn't he? He sees it. He sees the good and the bad. Don't forget that. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I wonder if God ever recognizes what I do. You know, God knows exactly what you do. He sees you when nobody else does. You know, the problem of it is we live too much for the praise of men rather than the praise of God. There are just some things that God wants only to see in your life. He doesn't want anyone else to see anyway. He doesn't want anyone else to see it. But God sees the good and the bad. Let me write down a couple more thoughts and I'll be done. Number two, God sees what we do and what we don't do. God sees those things. He sees when we don't read our Bible and we act as though we do. He sees us when we do pray. He sees us when we do the right things, but he also sees us when we don't. But then there's one more thought. God sees what we think. Tonight, right now, I don't know what you're thinking. But can I tell you this? God sees your thoughts. That's a scary thing. He sees your thoughts, and I've often wished that somehow or another, I just wished I could read some people's thoughts. There have been times when I wanted to do that. I wished I could read the thoughts, and when I've seen some weird situations happen, I said, man, I wish someone had like a window on the front and it would be running across what they're thinking right now. That's how God reads our thoughts, though. I just let you know, Satan can't read your mind, but God can. In fact, the Bible says it like this in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Not only can God read your mind, but he can read your imaginations. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Boy, that's scary, isn't it? God can read not only your thoughts, but the imagination that you might create. Jesus, when he was on earth, the Bible said, but he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he rose and stood forth. You see, the truth of the matter is, God knows us. God's all powerful. He's able to help us. Maybe you're here tonight and your future is uncertain. You're not sure who you can trust. I think we're at, in America, and I'm 53 years old. And I know that's old for some people. I think it's kind of young myself, but some people think it's old. But when I think of it this way, I've seen a growing distrust of people. Everyone today in America, almost without exception, they are at a point where they have no trust in anybody. I think that's where we are. People steal your bank accounts, they'll steal your credit card numbers, they'll take your car, they'll take anything they can. I mean, that's just how people think today. And we're trying to figure out who we can trust. You know, the truth of the matter is, there's one you can trust, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can trust him. He knows it. He knows what he's talking about. You see, the truth of the matter is, we fear airplanes because we know the potential of an airplane. We realize that an airplane could take our life in an instant. But isn't it strange how we have no problem getting on one when we have to go from point A to point B? And the pilot, we don't even know. I said this last week. I said, you know, you never know. He might have had a bad day. You would hope that he didn't pick up a bottle before he got in the cockpit. But there have been some who have done that. Can you imagine a drunk pilot? Would have been a horrible thing, wouldn't it? But if you can trust an airplane pilot to take you from point A to point B, someone you do not know and have never met before, I'm going to tell you this tonight. You can trust a God in heaven that has died for you. You can trust him. And the Bible says that he did that for us. And the reason why we fear God, because he has all knowledge, and he has all knowledge. We know that because he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, and he's all-seeing. What do you fear tonight? Some people fear an officer because of his authority. Others fear things that come into their lives that maybe someone told me the other day they were afraid of spiders. They have phobias about those things, and I understand that. But can I tell you this tonight? Let's make sure that we honor and respect and have a fear for God, because with him is true knowledge. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Not the end. It's the beginning. And it begins when we receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight we all make a choice on who we reverence and who we honor in our life.